morning about forgiveness. But it's not the simple forgiveness between one person and another. It's the forgiveness of a grand scale. We have a publication in the church that's quarterly, and there's an article in there I was surprised to find. And it's about Reverend Moses Chow. When he grew up as a young man, his city was bombed by the Japanese. And then the Japanese occupied the city. And as a result, he harbored this great hatred. But later on, he became a preacher. God called him. And he was called to preach in Japan. Guess what he did? He went there. He followed God's leading. And when he preached, it was so touching. Large number of Japanese became Christians. That's the story of forgiveness on a large scale. But I want to tell you something even bigger than that. Larger scale than that. And you all have experienced 9/11. The Twin Towers were collapsed. And you all remember this very freshly in your mind. But I remember something is in a bigger scale. When I was a little boy, Pearl Harbor happened. Pearl Harbor happened in my lifetime. And the atomic bomb also happened in my lifetime. But I don't know if any of you were born then. This is a story of that scale. The story is about two men. An American man, Jacob the Schatzer, and the Japanese man, Jacob the Schatzer. And the Japanese man is called Mateo Fujita. Fujita. Let me see if I can get this picture here. Yeah. Mitsuo Fujita. These two men, something happened to these two men in their lifetime that makes the world shaken up the whole world. Deshatsa, back to Deshatsa. Deshatsa heard about Pearl Harbor when he was working in his father's farm. And he heard over the radio, this old-fashioned radio, they don't have TV. He heard Pearl Harbor was bombed. And all the American fleet sunk. And thousands of soldiers died. He shouted, he was so enraged, he shouted, "The Japanese will have to pay for this." And later on, he joined a force to take the retaliation back to Japan. He was trained along with 24 other men for night flying, low-level bombing, over water navigation, trained for 6 months. And then they sent him with his teammates. They were on board SS Hornet. And they were to bomb a Japanese city. So they were all trained and prepared to go. And when they went there, the city lay quiet. It was an industrial city called Nagoya. My Japanese brother is not here today. Otherwise, he would correct me if my pronunciation is wrong. Nagoya, industrial city, was bombed by the Schatzer and his friends. The Schatzer was prepared to go back again to bomb, refueling his plane. But they were delayed for the fog or something, They were delayed. And he ran out of fuel. So his plane crash landed in China. And the refueling was going to be in China. But he landed behind enemy territory, Japanese occupied part of the Chinese territory. And he landed and parachuted out. And of course he was injured and he was captured. He was imprisoned. Now let's go to talk about Fujita. Fujita he was a commander of 6 aircraft carriers and 200 some planes. And he commanded this force. And the plan was to achieve a surprise attack. So when that moment came, he broadcasted with a code word, Torah, 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 meaning we have achieved surprise status. And when the bomb came, the whole American Pacific fleet was gone, sunk. So that was the powerful man, Mitsuo Fujita, the great commander. A scene of the bombing of Pearl Harbor. Remember this date, December 7th, close to Christmas, easy to remember, 1941. And in about 3.5 years later, Americans ready to drop the atomic bomb. When the atomic bomb was dropped, pretty soon Japan surrendered. And Fujita was assigned to visit the bomb site, Hiroshima.
Yeah. He's not working, sorry.
Oh, okay. Yeah. The bomb over Hiroshima, it was a terrible sight. And radiation existed in a large area of spaces. But Fujita was assigned by the government to go to inspect the damage. And he and his teammate went in, they looked at it, it came out, it was total devastation. And his teammate all suffered radiation poisoning and died. He was very fortunate, he didn't die. Now this is the second time that he didn't die. The first time, the American bombed his ship, and the ship was going to sink. But he was hurt. He jumped overboard into the waters, and his life was spared. That was the first time. The second time, he didn't die by radiation. So his life was spared. I must go back to Jacob. In the meantime, Jacob was imprisoned in a concentration camp. He was put in isolation, starved, and beaten. In despair, he thought about God. Don't you do that sometimes when you're in great stress, great distress? And he asked the prison guard for a copy of the Bible. And I was surprised that they had it. Must be an old copy of the Bible. And he was asked for the Bible. The guard says, okay, you can have it for 3 weeks. So in the 3 weeks' time, he read the Bible from cover to cover, and read it with great enthusiasm, and God touched his heart so wonderfully. He read this verse, Romans 10:9. This verse says, if you confess with your mouth Jesus is the Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. This is when he became a Christian. He confessed and he believed he was a Christian. He read the Bible. He read another passage, Matthew 5:44-45. And it says, but I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you so that you may be sons of your Father who is in heaven. This is the time that he forgave his captors. This is the time he realized God converted him, God saved him for a purpose. He's not to hate his captors anymore. So he became to preach in the prison. He went about teaching and preaching. Many of his team cellmates were converted. Even the prison guard that gave him the Bible became a Christian. Now, let me go back to Fujita. After the war, after Japanese surrender, he was assigned to inspect the bomb site. That he did. He was also assigned as a witness to witness the crime tribunal, that he was inspecting that. And he interviewed many, many people. And the people that he talked to in the American or allied prisons, the Japanese were treated fairly, decently, as a human being. So he was surprised. He was known as this is called Bushido. Bushido in Chinese means the warrior's code. Bushido says, you are allowed to take revenge. In fact, you are encouraged to take revenge because it's for your family honor, for your country's honor. So he was trained to do that. But he was surprised. Why are the prisoner, Japanese prisoner, treated decently? Later, he even met a young lady who worked in the prison camp. Her parents were killed by the Japanese, and she acted like a nurse to help the Japanese prisoners. And she treated them with honor and respect. So this touched the heart of Fujita. Later on, Fujita had walked in the streets of Tokyo, and somebody gave him a pamphlet. The pamphlet was written by Dishatsar, other hero of the story. The pamphlet says, I was a prisoner in Japan. I was a prisoner of Japan. So he read the pamphlet with great interest, because this man seemed so strange to him, to his way of thinking. He read it, but his heart was really touched. See, God has prepared many people already to touch his heart, including the people who he interviewed. And this young lady in the prison camp. And of course, now this book. Dushyasa, it turns out, wrote many books. Let me go back to Dushyasa again. Dushyasa, after the war, he was awarded the Purple Heart and the Distinguished Flying Cross. And he was discharged. He went back to U.S. immediately, went to enroll in a seminary or a Bible school. This is one of the books that he wrote. I'm going to find the school. Here. He went to Seattle Pacific University. He studied for 3 years to be a missionary. And after he became a missionary, guess where he went to? Went to Japan, you're right. Furthermore, he went to Nagoya, where he rained down the bombs over the city. So he was a missionary. And somebody used one of his pamphlets to pass on to Fujita's hand. And Fujita read the pamphlet, and later on he was so touched because the Bible converted Dushyasa. So he wanted to read the Bible himself. And he got hold of a Bible. He read it and read it and read it. His heart was touched because the same word of God touched Dushyasa, now touched him. And he became a Christian. And in fact, he became a minister. Did you see this picture? Here. This doesn't look like the earlier Fujita, did it? He was a preacher. But him and Dushyasa never met. For many years, they have not met. And they just went their own way, preaching the gospel. Okay. But one day, they met. They met. And what a scene. They two got together in 1950. So 5 years after the atomic bomb was dropped. In 1950, they finally met. And you can see, you can almost imagine the scene of these two. They were enemies, now become friends. They hate each other, now they love each other. They were warriors, now they become evangelists, both of them. What a transformation. Now, I want to alert you that this is not just a personal transformation. They make great impact on the world in the days of his days. They preached, they evangelized, they talked, and many people were touched by their testimony. So they hated on a great scale two bombing of the Pearl Harbor and bombing of Hiroshima. The hatred was so great. But then turn around, the forgiveness was so great. It's a grand scale. This is what I want to tell you about. How can we apply this into our lives? How can we use this? How did God work through these two people? Let's recap a little bit. First of all, God used the Word of God, right? God used the Bible. And this is the word that was passed on to the Dushyasa by the prison guard. And this was the word that God used for Fujita. And this is the word that Dushyasa used to preach to other cellmates and his prison guard. God's word is powerful. God's word is so deep. And most of us read it so superficially. But if you read God's word, there's transforming power in there. But that's not the only thing. There were reasons why they read the book. The second reason, it was, first, by his word. Second, by his servants. Have you noticed now? God sent his servants to the right places. And the willing servants, the servants that are ready, willing to go. First servant was such prison guard who was not yet a Christian. He gave the Shartzer the Bible. The second servant was a young lady who ministered to the prisoner, Japanese prisoner, in the camp. The third servant was the one who passed the pamphlet to Fujita's hand so that he read the pamphlet. God used unusual circumstances by his servants. And these servants are ready, willing at the time to serve God. So God uses servant. But don't dismiss the third element. God used the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, the third person of the Godhead, he is at work. He challenges people. He convicts people of sin. He encourages people to change their heart. You and I cannot do that. Only the Holy Spirit works in that way. And when the Holy Spirit works in the Shatsa's heart and in Fujita's heart, they could not resist. Their heart was transformed. They hated so much, now they forgive. They can forgive one another. They can, when the Word of God challenged them, Holy Spirit led them, they become preachers, evangelists. So this is the third element of God's working. In fact, you know, God never stopped working. God's always working in us and around us. He worked mysterious ways. But when God works, it will happen. There's a fourth element I want to point to you. Is God used history to change us, transform us? Why do I say that? Sometimes he used very difficult times, like Pearl Harbor and atomic bomb. These are very awful things happening. But through these two events, God accomplished his purpose. I sometimes look at the word history, and you can split the word history into two parts. His story. The history of mankind is his story. God is sovereign. He's in charge. He works different things in history to build us up, to help us. So God used history. These four things. Without God's word, we're in total darkness. God's word shed the light. Without God's servants, without his faithful servants, willing servants, the word cannot be proclaimed, cannot be reached. And without the Holy Spirit working in our hearts, then we cannot be transformed. So God used all things. And this is a verse that we read earlier. And let's read it again today together. And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, that those who are called according to his purpose. All things work together for you and I. God used all circumstances, all things. So let's remember this verse. God used all things for the good of you and I who love God. Okay, let's try to think about our church now. Think about each of us. How can we use this message? This is the fourth quarter in our church today. And our church has a yearly theme and a quarterly theme. And I hope you will remember, the first theme was growing maturity as a person, right? You remember that, as a person. Okay, I have it here. The second one, becoming mature in the family. Very important factor in our family unit. Third one is in the church, becoming growing in maturity in the church. Now we come to the fourth one, becoming mature in our community. Now this is expanding our original theme to cover those whom we are not used to contact, those who are not in our circle. This means our neighbors, maybe not the next door neighbor, down the street, further away, our neighbors. Maybe your colleagues, some of you are working, maybe your colleagues, maybe the colleagues that you never have talked to before. I know you have some favorite colleagues, perhaps, but there are some that you don't even like. That is your neighbor. And maybe for those in school, your classmates, not your favorite classmates, but those whom you don't like that much, who once laughed at you, maybe, you just didn't get the chance to know them very much. This covers that scope. The scope is enlarged to cover these people. Now, we have in our church missionaries that go to cross-cultural environments. We have those. This is this aspect also calls for us to go for cross-cultural outreach. Our scope is not that narrowly and confined to our comfort zone, but reaches out. What is God's perspective? I just give you one example. This one story. You know, the Sumeria is a land that the Jewish consider as a bad land, untouchable. Centuries of hatred and prejudice existed for Sumeria. And when Jesus came to Samaria, his disciples would go around and not go into Samaria, but Jesus went there. And furthermore, he went to talk to a young lady, maybe an older lady, who has been married 5 times, divorced 5 times, and now she's living with someone whom she did not marry. Jesus went in there to talk to this lady. He was on a mission, a cross-cultural mission, a mission across national boundaries, moral boundaries, religious boundaries, all kinds of barriers he crossed for the purpose of just converting, teaching, preaching to this young lady. We have a lot of members in our church. That's the Samaritan woman. Look at these names. Christine and Eric Doy, you're not here today, but nobody, the family. Jesse and Roger Lamb, They're all from our from our church here. Elder and Mrs. Building, Jonathan and Robin Bachman, Crystal and Daniel Hsu. They all are from this church, grew up here, and now serving in cross-cultural environments. But I'm not saying that all of us have to go to a far city, go far country. God can call you to serve him 10,000 miles away or within the 10-mile radius, right here, within where you live. This is God's calling for us. There was a time in Israel when the country is in deep trouble, just like our country now. We have great divisions. We have great crime rates. We have moral decay. Our country is in deep trouble, just like Ezekiel's time. Ezekiel said, and he wrote, this is word of God, I look for someone among them who will build up the wall and stand before me in the gap on behalf of the land, so I will not have to destroy it. But I found no one. Ezekiel says, there was no one that responded. No one come to the aid of the country. So what is he to do? I'm sure you agree, this is a grim situation. So as a Christian living today, we need to be aware of three things. We know these three things, then we can be effective, we can overcome, we can be victorious in our Christian life. First, to be aware that there is a gap. The country needs to know, the Christians need to know that there is a gap. And God is calling you and I, young men, older men, to fill this gap. How? In whatever profession he calls you to be, there is a position very much needed. It's a Christian man, Christian lady. You can stand there and serve God no matter what profession it is. It can be a politician. It can be a doctor. It can be an accountant. It can be a school teacher. Whatever position you are in, God can use you to fill that gap. Second, the second G, first G is gap. Second G is grace. God's grace is all sufficient. He will equip us with everything that we need. He is not short in his arm. He is not lacking in his faithfulness and power. He is full of grace. This story that we just heard, God's grace abound. He provided Deshatzer and Fujita with Bible. The word of God become really touching to their heart. God provided the Holy Spirit to change them. And God provided the faithful servants to go where they are needed. So, and God changed history. So God's grace is never short. We can rely on God's grace. The third one, the third G, is growth. God can help us with our growth. I know many of us are shy and says, God cannot use me. I don't know a thing. I haven't been trained. Oh, I'm timid. I'm very poor in speech. But remember, God can help us grow. It's God who gives us the growth. When we are willing to make a small step, a very little step of faith, say, God, help me to do this. It's not much, but help me. You know what happened? His grace is sufficient for that step. Go be a Sunday school teacher. That may be a big step. Well, go serve in the Holy Communion. That may be a smaller step. But serve in something. Go to speak to someone who did not know God and pass him a tract and a good book for them to read. That's a small step. When you did your small step faithfully, God is very pleased. You know, God will build up your confidence. And next time when you do something, God will give you a bigger faith. Your faith will grow. This is the word growth. Your faith will grow with everything you do for God. And God can use you. God can use each one of us. God has a plan. His plan is revealed already. Go to all the world to preach the gospel. His plans are revealed to you and me. The question is, are we listening? Are we praying to God? God, help me. Help me go forward. This is our prayer. Let us pray together, shall we? Dear Lord, we bow before you, your majesty and your holiness. We thank you. You're calling us to be a part of your redemption plan to reach the community for you. We can go forth equipped with the word and the guiding presence of the Holy Spirit. We want you to use us as instrument of your love and grace. We want to see your love and mercy flow through us, that those in our sphere of contact may know you and be saved. Forgive us when we are slow to respond to your love and calling. Thank you for your patience with us. We pray in Jesus' name, amen.